This is Phil Farron. And I am sitting in my basement. So there's no car. So I was going to go out and drive around a little bit and do this podcast right after work. But then we got a little busy at work and we're trying to finish it up with some things for first of the year. I'm opening up my papers, which is all the rattling. Doing some things for the beginning of the year. And so I worked a little longer and then I was trying to bustle around to get a few things accomplished. And then there was a small crisis and had to deal with that and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, working on the books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we went right into small groups. And then as I was sitting in small groups, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't do the podcast yet. So I think this is podcast number 879. So it's not going to be too long before we get to the next iteration of 52, which should be how many years? So 520 would be 10 years. we got to get up to 520. So 520, 879 minus 520 is 359. So 359 divided by 52, 359 divided by 52 is going to be what? Not quite 7, 8. 766. I don't know. It's somewhere around. It's not going to be many. It's like 4, 5, 6 more episodes before it will be 17 years. I don't know. Because 7 times 52. No, 17 times 52. Yeah. It'll be in there somewhere. It's too late at night to do math. Anyway, costumes. Everything's fine with the costumes. I'm actually slipping a little bit on the Mario costumes because I've been trying to get a few other things under control and done. I had a dentist appointment that was on a Tuesday, which is unusual. And so I scrambled around real quick and put together a costume for that. And then I'm going to have a teeth whitening session on Monday, which is February the 2nd. So I scrambled around, did a costume for that, and so I've just had a few little distractions here and there. And as of tomorrow, it will be 5 weeks until Mario Day, and so I've got to get going. I'm in good shape. I'm fine, but I cut the hole in the hat so that I can see through, and I put the the mesh in front of it. And so that's all fine. And now the next big step is to balance the hat on my head. So I have to figure out where the balancing point is. And then I have to build braces to where it will sit on my shoulders with my head just barely touching or not quite touching. So I can stabilize it side to side. And, you know, I've got the aluminum to do that. And I'll probably get started on that weekend. And ta-da, 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 ta-da. So that's all fine. I think I mentioned that I have put a Halloween costume into the mix, and so that's coming up as well. And then I am going to make a run at the Viking costume as well, and ChatGPT certainly helped me out with a bunch of that stuff. I think I talked about that last week. So that was very interesting. So all that's well. Writing is fine. Writing is going good. I'm on chapter 26. And I'm at 123,000 words, and I only need to go to 150. So, you know, I'm probably under 30,000 words now until I get this wrapped up. And it seems to be all tracking the way it needs to track I need to wrap up the main story at about chapter 30 or 31. And so I've got about 5 more chapters, and there's enough space to get done what I need to get done, and then a couple of epilogues, and we will have this series wrapped. So that's all wonderful. I know I've done a lot of Brent Weinstein's talks with other people. The latest one that's really interesting is he had a conversation with a man named Del Bigtree. Really, really interesting. But what was particularly interesting to me is that in the, I believe in the middle of this one, they really had a non-trivial discussion. They spent several minutes on it, a non-trivial discussion about science and the work of science and what was necessary for science. And it was pretty interesting. I had ChatGPT go ahead and give me sort of an overview of the 2 hours. It doesn't look like it included any of that stuff, which is fine. The actual topic at hand was Del Bigtree's documentary called An Inconvenience Study. And it really is a fascinating thing, and in many aspects, painfully fascinating. Just a second, let me make sure this is actually going. Yes, it is. You can find the documentary and watch it for free on aninconvenientstudy.org, I think it is. And Del Bigtree has an interesting past. He's been an executive producer, a storyteller, a journalist for many, many years. He was actually on the show The Doctors as one of their executive producers that would bring in stories. And so, you know, he has certainly had a lot of media experience. He was director of communications, I think, for RFK Jr.'s presidential run, man of faith. So, you know, he quite well-rounded. Well, as part of the Doctor's show, they got into the topic of vaccines at one point and started really digging into it and finding what you find when you actually start digging into it. And he has testified in front of, I believe he's testified in front of congressional hearings and like that and like that and like that. But it was interesting because this particular documentary, there was time pressure with it to coincide with a U.S. Senate hearing, and it really forced him to do a stripped down, very disciplined narrative that didn't focus on any kind of ideology or didn't focus on any kind of, you know, long-term backgrounds and those kind of things. It really just had to get to the core question and what the particular topic was say about the core question. And the core question was, Has vaccine safety ever been properly studied? Now you would think you would just have a knee-jerk reaction and say, well, of course it has. We've been told vaccines are safe and effective forever, and of course there would be. Well, what was really interesting is that Del Bigtree, when he was working with the doctor's program, also had done a film, a documentary called Vaxxed. And he was taking it around and showing it and showing what he had learned about the safety studies on vaccines, and most of it very disturbing, and had worked with Aaron Seary, who I had talked with, Brent Weinstein had talked to him several weeks ago. And they were all moaning about the fact that, you know, maybe we can't ever to get anyone to do a true placebo-controlled study. Because I had mentioned months ago that one of the big dings that the people who are trying to get some focus on vaccines say is there has never been a inert placebo-controlled trial on the vaccines that are on the childhood vaccine schedule. That it's always tested against other vaccines, if they even bother to do a randomized trial. And when you look up the information, like whenever you get a vaccine, I didn't know this, there's going to come a little pamphlet on the inside of that, and it's going to tell you about all the trials and things. And then you always go to section 6.1, and section 6.1 always says what trials were conducted. And basically, a lot of the trials are, well, we got a whole bunch of kids in, we injected them with this, and then we kind of watched them for 5 days, and they didn't seem to be too bad, so this vaccine is safe. 5 days, which is way too short. Del Bigtree and Aaron Seary were talking about the fact that they didn't think they were ever going to be able to push through and get a placebo-controlled trial, because the big beating point is, well, that's just not ethical, you know, to do a placebo-controlled trial because you're withholding medicine from children. But they did know that there were these major organizations that ran their own health insurance for which you went to them for all of your health care. And so it's a very closed system. And they did know that these organizations did have thousands and thousands and thousands of patients. And they could do a retrospective study. They could simply say, okay, who got the vaccines, who didn't get the vaccines? Why don't we compare these two groups for children? And let's just see what shows up 2 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out. So, you know, we've been told all along they're safe and effective, but when people check, there doesn't seem to be enough experimental evidence, enough trial evidence to support that. But then the people who are putting out the vaccine say, well, you know, we've done some trials and they seem to be safe and effective, and so you have to prove they're not. And so the vaccine companies actually put the burden of proof back on people who are saying, I think we need to investigate this. You have to prove harm as opposed to being required to prove safety. We've kind of got it upside down. So anyways, Del Bigtree had done this study and he'd put out a film called Vaxxed in 2016. And as part of his tour with that, he met a doctor, Dr. Zervos, who was the head of infectious disease at Henry Ford Health, which is one of these big conglomerates. And what was really interesting is Zervos told him that initially he was skeptical of the claims that nothing had been tested against inert placebos and that, you know, the trials were not sufficient and blah, 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 blah. And he was really skeptical of that. And he actually wanted to meet with Del Bigtree to say, I think you're wrong. Well, in the process of that, Zervos actually examined his own institution's massive health database, trying to disprove that. And he instead, after looking at all the studies that had been done, he concluded that there was a problem because none of the vaccines had been tested against placebo-controlled, inert placebo controls. And that it really shocked him. He was shocked. And he told Del Bigtree that. He said, turns out you're right. But he's still someone who openly supports vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. And the thing about it is he's absolutely pro-vaccine. So Del Bigtree had a chance to talk to him and was saying, why doesn't one organization like yours do this study, this retrospective study? You've got all the data. Why don't you do it? And this doctor said, well, maybe I will do it. And he said, well, what are you going to do if it proves that the vaccines are harmful? And he said, well, you know, I'm going to do it anyways, and I'm going to release the results. Okay, so they don't hear anything from him. They don't hear anything from him. They don't hear anything from him, if I recall the direct documentary. Finally, they kind of, Del Bigtree gets in touch with him, and the doctor admits that he did the study. And he said, oh, I haven't seen it published. And he said, well, I'm not going to publish it. And he said, well, why aren't you going to publish it? And he said, well, I can't publish it. I'm not publishing it. He said, but Del Bigtree, or the doctor did agree to sit down and talk with Del Bigtree. Now, Del Bigtree had been in all of this long enough that he could kind of sense what was coming. And so he just decided, I'm going to go in with full surveillance equipment and I'm recording all of this, because he could see what was happening. And so he had this dinner with this doctor where he recorded everything. And in fact, the doctor had sent a copy of the preliminary report that he never released to Aaron Seary. And Del Bigtree got a copy of the report as well. And it was a retrospective study that examined 18,500 children, included nearly 2,000 unvaccinated children. And according to the calculations that they ran, vaccinated children were 2.5 times more likely to have a chronic disease. They were nearly 6 times more likely to have a neurodevelopmental disorder. They were more than 6 times more likely to have autoimmune conditions. And after 10 years, 50% of the vaccinated children had a chronic condition, compared with 17% of the unvaccinated children. Now, okay, so this is just a retrospective study, so you can't really prove causation because you're not doing a placebo-controlled. But it's at least enough to say, maybe we need to take a look at this. I mean, it's at least enough for that. And what happens is, when the doctor has the dinner with this Dr. Zervos, he tells him he's not going to publish it because it would destroy his career. And, you know, he says this, he wasn't aware that he was being recorded, but he just says this out loud. And Henry Ford healthcare, you know, system knew about the study, and they just claim, oh, the study's flawed. You can't do that. So there's always problems with retrospective study, because you have like uneven cohort sizes and potential confounding variables. But they did their best in the study, and this doctor said that he believed this was a good study. This is a long-term professional in infectious diseases, so he knows what he's doing. He felt like it was a good study, but he was never going to release it. And so they tried to correct in the study for some of the normal confounders that you have, but it showed all these bad results. And the response has been, oh, it's flawed. That can't be right. It's not right. We're just going to ignore it. And Del Bigtree's thing was, look, if you don't like this study, do one for yourself. There are lots of these organizations. And in fact, there have been other studies now that have been done by other organizations, and they're finding the same things. But they were done by people who were investigating vaccines. They weren't done by a doctor who was pro-vaccine and was basically just doing the study to prove that everybody was wrong. So, you know, they say in this conversation that the infrastructure exists to do the study. You can get the funding for it. The databases exist. But they just refuse to do the study. And it's not unethical to do the study because it's a retrospective study. So all the data is there. They just don't want to do it. And the problem really is that all of this has become a religion. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines make a lot of money for pharma. And so you've got this connection between pharma and government and media because pharma funds all that connections. And Big Tree, the guy who made the documentary, he said that he has encounters with major journalists who all privately admit that they have doubts about vaccines and how safe they are. Because we give 79 shots, at least we did up until a few weeks ago when they rolled back the stuff because Bobby Kennedy went around and Trump ordered Bobby Kennedy to go around to all the Western nations and say, look, how many vaccines are they giving? How does it compare to us? We have the sickest children in the world, you know. And so now the new recommendations are, it's a modified schedule, I guess, to the Danish one. And it cuts back on some, at least some. But, you know, there is this thing, there is this priesthood, there is this religious belief that vaccines absolutely have to be safe. And if you talk anything against that, you're going to get crucified. And everybody knows that. And so that the high people in power aren't going to let that happen. And they're not going to do it themselves because, like this doctor, they believe it's going to sacrifice their career and it's going to sacrifice. And at one point, they get on to this topic of how can people just say my career is more important than the potential damage that all of these vaccines might be doing to children. How can they do that? And at that point, Brent Weinstein and Weinstein, I always make that mistake, and Del Bigtree get into this conversation about what has been lost in science and how that religion provided a structure for people to do brave and honest things. And we've lost that structure, you know. And as part of this discussion, what became obvious to me is that what we've lost is this sense of morality, this sense of doing good, because you need to do good. But if you just completely abandon any religious thought and any idea of an overseer that's watching what you're doing, what motivation do you really have to do good? And what are you serving if you're not serving God? You're serving your own reputation. You're serving the skills that you have, and you're serving your job. You can't afford to lose that, and you're serving money. And of course, for all these people who are worried about losing their jobs, if they raise their hand and ask a question, the flesh is going to give them all kinds of excuses. And in fact, the doctor just said, look, I could publish this study, but it's going to ruin my career. You know, it's going to ruin everything I built, and it won't make any difference anyways, because they're just going to keep giving the shots to children. So why should I sacrifice myself? Because I can't stop it. And that was the justification. And it's quite stunning to watch the admission. There are as well in the film, you know, just some horrific stories that parents tell about getting vaccinated and how there was an immediate effect on their children and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they do try to make the point at the end. Brent Weinstein makes this crucial distinction at the end that's very important. He says, look, rejecting the current vaccine narrative does not mean rejecting the theoretical possibility of beneficial vaccines. It means acknowledging that trust has been destroyed by fraud, suppression, and bad science. And Del Bigtree ends the discussion by emphasizing that this documentary, An Inconvenient Study, is powerful precisely because it comes from the other side. It shows what happens when the scientific method is allowed to run and why so many institutions appeared terrified to let it do it again, do so again. And so it's worth seeing, it's worth talking about. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to just nitpick and find all kinds of things, but what this comes down to is this isn't proof, but it is an indicator, and there have been other indicators that have been other studies. And what really needs to happen now is more studies, very careful, great, peer review them, but they need to be published. And then, honestly, we need to figure out how to do inert placebo double-blind controlled studies. Because then, and then once all those are done, we need to actually act on it. Because there's so much energy behind the religion of vaccines at this point that, honestly, if you say anything about vaccines, then you're just an anti-vaxxer and you're your kook and you're a nutcase and, you know, you should just be put away somewhere and be forced to stop talking. And so we are in very interesting times. You know, there has at least been some movement on this, but I mean, growing up, I got tons of vaccines because we went over to the Philippines, so I'm not necessarily inherently against vaccines. But if they've never been safety tested, we can't really say they're safe and effective. And if the reason we're supplying pharmaceutical companies with full immunity from prosecuting against any harms that these vaccines are doing are because the pharmaceutical companies went to the government and told them, if you don't give us immunity, there's so many harms from these vaccines that we go bankrupt and then children will die. In essence, what they were saying is to so that some children can live, we need to cause harms to other children. And nobody ever did the math. How many children are going to die from your vaccines versus how many children are going to die from getting these infectious diseases? And can we treat these infectious diseases without killing children by giving them vaccines or causing neurological diseases or cause, you know, no one has done that math. And by not doing the studies, we don't know what the math is. We don't know what the multiplier is. I mean, if this study is even close to accurate, and you're talking about 6 times more neurological problems, 6 times more autoimmune problems, causing lifelong chronic problems in people just because they got vaccinated because their parents were trying to do the right thing. It's a real issue. It's just absolutely fascinating. It is also 9:15, and tomorrow is Big Wig Day, which is the most challenging costume from a dressing perspective and a performative perspective. I mean, Marvin the Martian is very challenging from a performative perspective, but it's just a matter of hauling the equipment down there and putting it on. Big Wig Days is a latex costume, and it takes me an hour to get into it, so I have to go to bed. Anyways, but that's that. It's really interesting. aninconvenientstudy.org. It's worth the watch. It's an hour and a half. Have a great day.